Good afternoon and welcome to the Happy Hour Special Radio Show. I'm Nash Dongwell.
And I'm Cheeky Hudson.
We're here to keep going until you go to the bar. If you don't want to drink then.
You certainly will after this.
All right.
Today in the studio we have a very special guest. His name's Dr. Drexel Pocketlove. And believe it or not, he's not even a real doctor.
Not even a doctor of anything.
Drexel, how are you? And thanks for coming on the show.
Well, I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for having me on your show. I've been a big fan for the past 2 months since I've been tuning in. When I got the call that I was going to be on your show, so I decided to listen to you guys, and you guys sound great.
Drexel, we have both been big fans of your music and your production for really the past 40 years. You've had a strong hand in most of the important rock albums of all time.
Phenomenal career. Just outstanding.
Let's list a few of them now, shall we? Let's see, you started off on Dark Side of the Moon, I believe. Isn't that right?
So,
I was a sound engineer on that one. But it was just great listening to those guys and, you know, Roger and, you know, everyone on the crew. It was just great listening to them.
What was it like being in the studio with legends? How did they interact?
Well, first off, I was just hanging outside their studio apartment. I heard them jamming upstairs, really spacey stuff. Nothing I've ever heard before.
Sonic vibes?
Yeah, sonic vibes. Great way to put it. Sonic vibes, sonic textures. Great sonic textures. And so I was just, you know, I was outside smoking a J and I was just listening to them. And I found the door in and I went all the way up. And I said, hey, you guys sound great. You guys sound fantastic. I'd like to listen to more of you guys. And Roger.
And they invited you to stay and...
Yeah, Roger, they were actually, they were on a break. They were taking a little break for some tea and some crumpets, and I sat down with them, and Roger Waters, I believe. He had just long, shaggy hair. He's a very quirky fellow, And he asked me, so what did you think? And I said, well, it sounded good. I liked it. He said, well, do you know anything about sound engineering? And I said, yes. I do.
And they just offered you the position right there on the spot. Did they have
no
any experience?
Credentials? No. Nothing? Did you know anything about sound engineering?
Well, I knew what sounded good. I wouldn't say I really knew anything about sound engineering per se. But
right.
I knew it sounded good. And I thought they sounded good.
A talented ear you have.
Certainly is.
That's what I've been told. But
and that's
know.
How you that's how you got your start in the music business.
Well, that wasn't necessarily my start. That's probably my big break, I guess you would say, as a music aficionado.
Yeah.
And but really, I was born in 1936. And my dad was in the RAF, Royal Air Force, for you Yankees. And I was an Army rat for a while, for about a good 15 years, traveling around. Went to Queensland, Cape Town, Rhodesia.
Rhodesia. Present day Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, naturally.
Yeah, Zimbabwe is a... And I was basically just a RAF pack rat. And you know the saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire?
Right.
Well, I guess for me, I guess the sun never set on my childhood.
You got an interesting accent. And I guess that comes from years of living in various different places.
Well, yes. I never really had a true accent. I just based on the local dialects and vernacular, as they call it nowadays. And so, really, I just have a conglomeration, or a mixtape, as you would say it, of British accents and vernaculars.
Mixtape, I like that.
Well, Dr. Pocketlove, tell me about some of your other experiences in the music industry. Who else have you recorded with, or consulted with, produced?
Well, back in 1965, I came to New York. I came to New York City, got a pass. My mother bought it for me, and God bless
you. What sort of pass?
A boat pass. I took I'm not really sure anymore. Kind of hazy, but it was one of the Kiwis, you know.
Right.
One of the Queen's boats, one of them. I'm not sure which one.
And so what did you do when you got this pass to New York City?
Well, I just really wanted to come over because Britain was kind of boring me, you know. And it was just, you know, it was dreary and rainy and... So much bad teeth.
Lots of bad teeth there.
Lots of bad teeth.
Terrible dentistry.
Do they not have fluoride?
No, it's not that they don't have it. They just they don't care to use it, and they think Yellow is in. Yellow is in over in Britain for some reason. Yellow
always and Rotten. Always will be.
That's where they got Johnny Rotten from. I met him once. Great fellow.
So what did you do when you got to New York?
Well, I got there, and I really just wanted to sing and play in the folk clubs. And so, I got my guitar. I was playing some, what was I playing? I don't even remember.
Some of that beat stuff.
Yeah, beat stuff, I guess. Beat stuff, yeah. And, and so eventually I just met with Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan?
Yes, Bob Dylan. I see you trying to mock in my accent, are you?
I like the way you say it, Doctor.
Well, thank you. I've heard lots of women say that as well. But you might be the 55th or 56th man to say that.
Hey, keep track, do you?
Oh, yes, I do. Anyway, back to Bob. Bob is a great fellow, plays a mean guitar. At least I thought he did. Anyway, and so I acquaintance with him. And, we toured around a little bit, going up and down the Northeast. I opened for him for a couple of shows. He opened for me.
Really?
Yeah, he opened for me.
Bob Dylan opened for you.
Yeah.
In the early 60s?
Mid-60s, I would say. But yes, about around the same time then.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, playing folk clubs. That's the way to go. Because all you have to do is read a couple words of poems, and you got girls shagging you in the back. And so I was all about the folk clubs.
Well, I'm sure you were. It sounds like quite a place, doesn't it, Cheeky?
Swinging time. We need to have happy hour there.
Oh, you guys would love happy hour there. It's beer and girls everywhere.
That's the best kind of happy hour. Yeah.
Anyway, and so I was with Bob, and, he was just doing a little tour by himself. He was kind of off the track. And so he was recording his new album. And so he came up to me and said, Drexel, I got this new song, and you have a good ear, so I want you to listen to it. So I said, okay, I'll listen to it. So I went to the studio, he played it for me, it was a good song. I said, it needs something, Bobby. Bobby, it needs something, I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but it needs something. And you know what that something
what
was?
What did it need? I would love to know.
I'm intrigued.
That something was keys.
Keys.
He didn't have keys on the song. Keys make about every song. Listen to all the great songs. They have keys in them.
Yes, they do.
And so he came up to me. He said, Drexel, can you play keys? I said, yeah, I can play keys.
Did you know how to play keys?
No, I don't know how to play keys. I guess I don't know how to play keys. Still don't know how to play keys. But anyway, since I didn't know, I didn't want to let down my friend Bob. So I went in there. He says, Drexel, here's your keyboard. Give me something. So he gets the whole band in there. All live. It's all live. And he comes up to me. He said, all right, Drexel, I'm going to point to you. I want you to hit those keys. So he starts playing. He points at me. And I lay down the keys. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just hitting buttons.
Jingle jangle, huh?
Jingle jangle. Not really buttons. I guess there were more keys than buttons. But I was hitting them, banging along. You know what?
What song was it, Drexel?
Like a Rolling Stone.
Obama
on the text.
That's one of the most famous rock and roll songs of all time, and you played the keys on that?
That's what I've heard.
The key solo was fantastic.
I love those keys, mainly because I didn't know how to play them, and I still don't. But you know what? I laid it down. And I've heard it's one of the best songs ever, but I just thought it was a good little ditty.
Wow.
Just a moment, Dr. Pocket Love. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's me, Gary Chardonnay. Come on down to the Barrel Room on William Street, where every night is ladies' night. Friday nights, we have pinwheel slammers and martini drop boxes for $2 each. DJ Spectacular will be spinning all the hottest European house music this weekend. If you're looking for a night you can't tell your boyfriend about, ask for me, Gary Chardonnay. Laters!
Hey, you guys. Happy hour is from 4 to 6.
is there alcohol in this?
Oh, God, honey, no. What kind of mother do you think I am? Why, do you want a little bit? Because if you're going to drink, I'd rather you do it in the house.
Happy Hour special radio show, serving up virgin daiquiris every afternoon at 4 p.m. on Radio DS106. I'm Nash Dongwell. Tune in next week to hear about the jet-setting adventures of philanthropist Terrence Geffman. He's like Bruce Wayne without the Batman. He'll be in next week on Happy Hour special on DS106 Radio. And we're back on Happy Hour Special with Dr. Drexel Pocketlove.
So, Dr. Pocketlove, tell me,
Who else have you hobnobbed with?
Oh, let me think about it for a little bit. I've talked with so many and hung out with so many great artists. Oh, I've got one for you. A little ways back, before you were probably even born, I was palling around with George Harrison of the Beatles.
Ah, from the Beatles.
The Beatles.
A Beatles fame. Very cheeky fellow, I must say.
It certainly sounds
anyway, like it. I was with him at the Rolling Stones concert. Great concert. Mick was on fire, so was Charlie Watts. And so afterwards, we went back to his hotel room. And, you know, just all night playing his guitar. I was playing guitar.
And the keys.
We didn't have keys back. We didn't have keys in his hotel room. Even though in most of his hotel rooms, he does have some keys. And, you know, I had some liquor flowing, some nose candy going. I was a bit of a sweet tooth back then.
Oh, I'm sure.
And before we knew it, it was 6 o'clock and the sun was rising. And I said, hey, George, I know you had that song about that sun coming up. I said, can you play that ditty for me? He said, sure. So he played Here Comes the Sun for me at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was incredible stuff.
Had that song come out yet?
No, it hadn't come out yet. It was he was still working on it, and so I got the early renditions.
So you were one of the first people to ever hear Here Comes the Sun.
I think I was the first person, actually. He told me later, before he died.
That's almost spiritual.
Yeah, I've heard that. It's a great little ditty. I love it. I liked it a lot. Yeah, and so that's one story I can take out of my brain. You know, it's a little fuzzy from my years of rock and roll.
Tell us, Draxel, what have you been doing recently?
Well, I've just kind of been palling around, but I guess recently I got a little bit of a tiff with the law. I did a 3 month stint at Rikers Island.
Three months? What was that for?
Well, for parking tickets.
Parking tickets?
Yeah, 75 unpaid parking tickets.
They put you in prison for 75 unpaid parking tickets?
Well, I also had a little bit of nose candy on the dashboard.
That would probably explain the three months stay in prison. Okay, makes a lot more sense now.
I guess so, but still. Come on.
Yeah.
Just a little fun. You know, a little fun to have.
So how was Rikers Island?
Oh, that place was a daycare compared to what I've been to. I stayed with Charlie Bronson. Charlie Bronson!
The most notorious English criminal of all time?
Yeah, I was with him for a good year. Cellmates with him. Horrible.
I wouldn't imagine that would be a lot of fun.
Wow. No, it wasn't a lot of fun. He used to take spray paint. Spray paint as always. And then run around trying to grab me and kill me. So no, it wasn't a lot of fun, but compared to that, Rikers Island was a lullaby sleep.
Did you encounter anyone infamous at Rikers Island?
Well, I guess we have rap nowadays, and so I don't really listen to the crap, but I know the youngins listen to it. And I was actually next to Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, is that how you say his name? Lil Wayne.
Yeah, Little Wayne.
Little Wayne. Yeah, yeah. I was with that guy. I was, well, not with him per se, but I guess I was sailed next to him. And, yeah, so we were next to him. I guess he's an old fellow, not much to him. He's kind of mumbled to himself a lot. But I guess he had one of his friends. I've never heard of this guy. Kanye West. I guess Kanye East, I call him. He's a bloke. Anyway, yeah, we were with him and, I guess he came and wrapped a new album for him. I don't really know what it was. It sounded like gibberish and mumblish to me. But yeah, I guess I saw Kanye West and Lil Wayne. I was next to them.
Fantastic. Did you give him any tips on his new album?
I just screamed, "Shut the fuck up, you bloke!" I was doing my rest hour, so I was a little agitated per se.
So you were woken up from a nap by Kanye West.
Yeah. It was very, very, cannot. The guy cannot sing. He cannot sing. Just, his voice sounds like a rock hidden in a frying pan. Just, ugh.
Wow. Dr. Pogolov, you heard Kanye West's new album, which, by the way, won Album of the Year, even though you didn't perhaps care for it, before anyone else.
Oh, I guess so. I guess I just got a knack for being in the right place at the right time, even though...
Forefront of musical innovation.
I guess Kanye, though, is a wrong place at the wrong time.
Wow. Dr. Pogolov, thank you very much for coming to the studio today. It's been an honor talking with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's great hanging with you, Nash, and you, Cheeky, you know, fine fellows, and so...
Come back anytime.
Oh, I would love to come
back.
Please
do.
And if you ever are in Sperryville, Virginia, just hit me up. We can go out to the local pubs.
You live in Sperryville, Virginia now?
Sperryville. For right now, my girlfriend's there. She's a farmer, so I'm living on a farm now.
Fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have for today, folks. Tune in next time on the Happy Hour Special. I'm Nudge Dongwell.
And I'm Cheeky Hudson.
We'll be right back.
Bonjour, monsieur. Bonjour, madame. I'm Gaston Bethmont, owner and head chef at Bistro Bethmont on William Street. If you're looking for a night of fine wine, food, and passion, come visit us at Bistro Bethmont. We currently have a special on some elderberry cheeses and freshly baked croissants. Our ratatouille was voted the best on the East Coast. It is simply breathtaking. Try a glass of our 1964 Bordeaux Savoie for the $28. Come, be our guest. Au revoir, mon chéri.
Happy Hour Special Radio Show.
Back in the studio at the Happy Hour Special. I'm Nash Dongwell, and this is my friend,
Cheeky Hudson.
Unfortunately, Dr. Drexel Pocketlove had to jet a little early. He got an urgent call from Seal, the musician. He's working on a new album and could really use some help. Luckily, we have our next guest here. His name's Terrence Gethin. He's worth over $6.9 billion and is the owner and founder of Gethin Industries. Gethin Industries is known around the world for, among other things, being the largest manufacturer of shag carpeting. Terrence, thanks for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, actually, I just flew in on my private jet, 105, winning, and I was out there. I got commissioned by the Prince of Dubai to shag carpet his whole island.
You covered an entire island with shag carpeting?
I covered an entire island with shag carpeting. Let me tell you, that's not the first time that's happened.
Really? You've done other islands?
Oh, I've done other islands. I've shag carpeted farms, other homes, children. Whatever you need to have shagged, I'll shag it.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, seeing as you are the shag carpet king.
Yes, I am the shag carpet king.
Tell me about Dubai.
Dubai is a fantastic place. I'm actually thinking about buying a home there in about 2 months.
Oh, yes. You know, actually, I heard that Terrence Gethin has more homes than your average human has toenails.
Usually about 10.
Most humans have 10. How many homes do you have, Terrence?
11. Hopefully soon to be 12.
The 12 is going to be in Dubai. I think that's an excellent real estate endeavor.
It's going to be fantastic.
Terrence actually told me just before we went on the air that he's actually going to be flying out after the show to his home on the French Riviera. Isn't that right, Terrence?
Yes, I'm heading there after the show. I'm throwing actually a big, big, special party, a birthday party, for my my good friend and business partner, Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago.
Ah, the Sausage King of Chicago. I've heard of him.
Yes, he's a very fine fellow, a great man. I love him dearly. And I got actually his favorite band to be playing there, the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, the Black Eyed Peas. Fergie, Will.i.am, Apples to Apples.
And that vaguely Asian guy.
And the vaguely Asian one. That sounds like an excellent time. It should be quite an affair.
Quite the affair.
It's going to be quite an affair, let me tell you, boys. And it's going to have shag carpeting everywhere for sure.
Of course.
On top of that, we're going to have gallons and gallons of Maker's Mark. Have you heard of Maker's Mark?
Maker's Mark, I believe it's that's a
bourbon whiskey, correct?
Yes, bourbon whiskey is a very strong finish.
A strong finish, you say?
Very strong. It hits your nostrils, then it hits the back of your mouth and down your throat. Very, very strong finish.
This sounds like a great party. Is there any chance that you have two extra tickets lying around for me and Cheeky?
No.
All right, that's fine. That's very fine. So what else do you have coming up planned for the future, Terrence?
Well, I think after my birthday party with Abe, I'm going to go to Milan for Fashion Week.
Fashion Week? I've always wanted to go to Milan.
Yes, it's a very, very great city, and up there I'll meet up with Donatella Versace. She's my personal escort.
Oh, your personal escort.
Is that in a friendly way or a more romantic way?
Very much friends, but we have been romantic in the past.
Oh, I'm sure that's quite delightful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of hers. I love her clothing, especially on my escorts.
Yes, of course, on the escorts. Wow, Fashion Week. I would love to go to Fashion Week. You know, Terrence, I've heard that you're You're a dog lover.
Oh, I'm a very big, big dog lover, yes, yes.
Big dogs or very much a lover of dogs?
I'm a very much a big lover of big dogs. I have three Mastiffs, actually. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Oh, those three young boys from the biblical story, where they were thrown in the fire, they didn't burn?
Yes, that's right, and I thought this is very coming of them, because Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that is.
Yes.
If you read the Bible, I have four of them.
Diamond four Bibles?
Encrusted, diamond encrusted on my bedside tables.
Winning.
Obama on the text.
Obama on the text.
Wow, I myself am a dog lover. I have a... Actually, it's a rare breed. I successfully managed to cross a bulldog and a shih tzu. I call it a bullshit. Isn't that a good one, Terrence?
Bullshit.
Terrence, I have to ask you, you've got quite an interesting tie there. It appears to be a sort of purpley burlap, quite a rough texture. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yes, actually, this tie is a very silky texture. It's made by a Chilean weaver, a tucket, from the armpit hairs of Giselle Bundchen. Very, very rare.
Your tie is woven from the armpit hairs of one of the world's most famous supermodels, Giselle Bundchen?
Yes, I actually had to hire a spy to go grab them for me.
What does that run you? It's got to be pretty expensive, I would think.
Well, the spy cost me $1 million, and the tie itself cost me around $1.5 million.
Wow, that's... you really have got money in the bank.
That's excessive.
Any other interesting articles of clothing that you have, Terrence?
Well, actually, my socks, I got them with a package deal with my spy friend, and they're actually made from the woven pubic hairs of Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Both of your socks are from Tom Brady's pubic hairs?
Yes, I got a package deal. I got the tie and the socks for $1.5.
That's just amazing. And quite a deal, I might add.
Go deals.
Go deals. Terrence, thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come into the Happy Hour Special Studio and chat with just two regular guys like me and Cheeky.
Well, it's no problem, boys. It was mildly entertaining.
Good. I'm glad that you had a mediocre time.
And if you boys ever need some shag carpeting, here's my card. And also, here's a thimble full of my spit.
And what are we to do with that?
Drink it.
Terrence, it's been great. I hope you have a great time on the French Riviera.
Thank you, boys. I won't think about you boys anymore.
I'm sure you won't.
That's all for today, folks. You've been listening to Happy Hour Special Radio Show on DS106 Radio. I'm Nash Dongwell.
And I'm Cheeky Hudson. Thanks for listening. In our final segment for today's Happy Hour special, we've got Dr. Perry Jessman.
Dr. Jessman is a substitute professor of archaeology at George Mason University.
He's currently subbing for Dr. Cornwell, who broke her leg in a nasty fall earlier this week.
She's going to be out for a long time. Perry, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You know, just drove on down here to lovely Fredericksburg. Visited Sammy T's, I think. Sammy T's, right?
Sammy T's, oh, right, yes.
Yeah. I just, you know, got myself a nice batch of fries, I think is what they call them. A batch of fries, you know, they bring out fries. And the
French fries, I understand.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah, how could I have thought? Yeah, French fries. And yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
Anyways, Perry, Dr. Jessman, is going to be on the show today to talk about his forthcoming book coming out in the next week or two.
Archaeology and You.
Archaeology and You.
It's an exciting new book that no one is going to read.
But it will be. It will be really special.
It's fantastic. Perry, where do you want to start? Let's talk a little about the book. What was the inspiration?
Well, thank you. I'm glad you guys have read it. If you haven't read it.
We haven't read it. Oh, well, I'm going to be honest. We're not going to read it.
The station got us a copy. It's in the bathroom, I believe.
Well, if you guys get the opportunity to at some point, really appreciate it, but
I'd love to look through it.
I guess digressing. Well, I grew up in Iowa, born 1967, September 7th, and I guess my main inspiration for writing Archaeology and You was when I was younger. My mom was a little bit of a. Have you seen the new TV show Hoarders?
I've seen it.
It's quite scary.
She was like one of those, and so basically, I'll have to sift through the piles of shit and junk that she had, and I had to find lunch money and my clothes for the morning, so that's kind of where I got interested in archaeology, was sifting through a bunch of junk to find treasures and things you needed for life. And so basically what this book is about, it's just going into archaeology and the fun that you can have finding treasures and lost things and dirt. You know, I love it. I just love it. And so my main inspiration was really just to, inspire other people to find shit in the dirt.
That certainly is fascinating. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Darren Brokowski here from Fatty J's. I just want to welcome you down to Fatty J's Restaurant Bar and Grill. We have a new special every Thursday night. 7 pickled pig's feet for $7.95. Just come on down and have yourselves a pig's feet of a time. And let me tell you, we got our newest import of Heineken beer. So just come on down, ask for Darren, and hang 10, Fredericksburg.
And we are back live with Dr. Perry Jessman. Perry, tell me, what would you consider to be your most interesting discovery to date?
Well, back in 2006, I was in Nevada on this big dig, and basically what we found these small, rodent-type skeletons in the just outside Reno. And what we discovered was that this was the first prehistoric settlement of meerkats.
Meerkats.
Yes, if you've seen Lion King, Timon, yes.
Timon, as in Timon and Pumbaa.
Yes, Timon and Pumbaa.
And they actually settled in the Nevada desert.
Well, yeah, that was the most fascinating part, was we thought they were in Africa. Everyone thought they were in Africa, but no. Prehistoric meerkats in Nevada, just outside Reno.
Right here in our own backyard.
Obama on the text.
That's amazing, Perry.
Yeah, well, that was me. That was probably one of my prouder moments in life.
Congratulations.
If not my proudest.
Congratulations. I would like to shake your hand.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right, Perry, we only have a few minutes left. Quickly, who do you feel you embody more? Indiana Jones or Sam Neill from Jurassic Park? Go.
Well, obviously I'm a huge fan of both of them because they've done so much.
Well, of course.
Yes, they've done so much for the archaeology world and just, brought that swag and that sex appeal back to archaeology that was, missing there since they found King Tut. And so, I just, huge fan of both, but if I were to choose one, I will say I have the female love capabilities that Sir Indiana Jones did, but, if I were to be one, I'd have to choose Sam Neill. He just, he brought back dinosaurs, for God's sake, What can't
you can't beat really beat that, can you, Barry?
You can't beat that.
He's one cool dude.
You just gotta love him so much. So, Sam Neill.
Great. Wonderful. Really happy to have you here this afternoon, Perry.
Guys, thanks again.
Thanks very much.
We'd love to have you back. And I hope that your book, Archaeology and You, on sale soon, will be a big hit.
I hope so, too.
That's all today for the Happy Hour Radio Show. I'm Nash Johnwell.
And I'm Cheeky Hudson. Thanks for listening.
You have yourselves a good evening.